Well, good day again. I'm Dave, one of the pastors here, and it's so great we can gather on this Christmas morning to celebrate the good news that Jesus is born to be the Saviour of this world. A special welcome if you're new to us today. It's great that you can join us together on this special day. Well, this morning it's going to look a little bit different to normal. We're going to read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, but we're going to do it in three parts today. And each time, Coops is going to come up and speak on each part of that passage. So right now, Andy is going to get up to read our first passage, and Coops will speak on the first part. But before we do, let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that at Christmas we can remember that Jesus was born. And as we hear from your word, please help us to understand why this is such good news, and please help us to trust in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him."
Thanks, Andy. It's a wonderful reading. Thanks so much. And welcome, everyone, and a very Merry Christmas to you. Paul Cooper's my name. Most people call me Coops. I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity Church in Campbelltown. And a very special welcome to everyone, and especially if you're new or you're visiting. It's just so great to have you with us as we explore the Christmas story this morning. Now, as Dave's already said, we're going to do this in three parts over the next 45 minutes or so. Let me lead us in prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would help us to reflect deeply on your words, and that you might impress their meaning deeply within us this Christmas. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've just read just those first two verses, and I reckon everyone here is probably pretty familiar with the Christmas account, right? Like, we hear it year after year, don't we? Mary, Joseph, angels, a baby born to Mary in Bethlehem, and then three wise men arriving in Jerusalem to try and find this newborn baby Jesus. Like, we know it really well, don't we? That's the account. Except that the Bible doesn't say that there were three wise men. I don't know if you noticed that. It doesn't say three wise men. It just says Magi came from the east seeking Jesus. No one really knows how it came about that we thought there were three. Maybe because they had three gifts. But actually, we don't know how many there were, because the Bible doesn't tell us. And in the end, it doesn't actually matter that much how many came to Jerusalem. But I wonder if you can see from what I've just described, perhaps just one of the dangers of Christmas. One of the dangers for us at Christmas. And that is, once you've had a few Christmases, you might think that you know the story. That you just know it really well, there's nothing new, and it all just becomes a bit ordinary. But what I'm hoping that we're going to all see this morning is that it doesn't matter if it's the first time that you've heard this Christmas account or if it's the 100th time, that actually there's nothing ordinary about Christmas. There's nothing ordinary about it. The arrival of Jesus wasn't ordinary. The events that surrounded his birth, they weren't ordinary. And he wasn't an ordinary baby. And once you realise that, you have to do something with it. You have to make a decision about what Christmas is really about. That is, you have to do something with Jesus. You have to do something with Jesus. We're going to come back to that. But for now, let's begin. See if this morning we can understand again just how extraordinary Christmas really is. And it starts right from the beginning of that passage that Andy read with the Magi seeking Jesus. Now, kids, if you've got your activity booklets handy, the one that looks like this, we're on page 3 in your activity booklets. And it's not easy to tell, actually, who the Magi were. It's not easy to tell. The word Magi, it referred to magicians or astrologers, those that could interpret dreams, people like that. Sometimes they were called wise men. But what we do know from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, is that they came somewhere from the east of where Jesus was born. So have a look at the map up here. somewhere to the east. So maybe Babylon, maybe Persia, somewhere like that. Now first up, what's extraordinary just in this very first, the beginning part here of this account is that in the past, those nations had ruled over Jerusalem. Like in times gone by, they weren't completely on friendly terms, right? But from those nations, somewhere over there, come these wise men to look for and worship the King of the Jews. Now, the fact they knew about him and the fact, actually, that they cared is extraordinary. I mean, how did the Magi know about Jesus? How did they know about him? Well, Jewish people had been in exile in those areas in the past, so there may well still have been Jewish people living there. So probably the Magi, they'd studied some of the Jewish scriptures. That's how they knew about the King of the Jews. Numbers is a book in the Bible, in the Old Testament part of the Bible. It's written many, many centuries before Jesus. And in chapter 24, the first half of verse 17, it says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel." Now, Jacob in that verse refers to the Israelite nation. And a scepter, you know, a scepter, it's something that a king has. So these verses, they're saying a star will come, just like the one that the Magi saw, and that a king would rise out of Israel. So it seems like the Magi knew at least some of the scriptures, and they recognized what this star meant. So off they go to Jerusalem, and they ask in verse 2, "Where is the one who's been born, the King of the Jews?" And I wonder just in that question, can you see what's significant about the way they ask the question? He's not the one who's going to be made king. They know that he is born king. And they've come searching for him. Now, if you map it out, it's a journey of over 1,000 kilometres. So, kids, I have a question for you. Hands up. Have you ever been to Melbourne? Anybody? Some people have been to Melbourne. What about Birdsville? That's about the same distance. Or Roxby Downs? I know some of the youth at least have been there. Well, could you imagine walking or riding a horse or riding a camel to get there? Because the journey that the Magi took, it's like us going from here to Canberra. And back then it's so hard. No truck stops, no Maccas, no espresso coffee. And it's dangerous, violently dangerous. The roads are lonely, there's bandits, there's no police. Often nowhere to stay. It's extraordinary when you think about it. They are so eager and motivated to seek this king. But they can't know all the scriptures because the prophet Micah had written these words about 700 years before Jesus. This is in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 in the Old Testament part of the Bible. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." We're going to hear more about that a little bit later. But the thing is, see, if you knew the scriptures well, you would know that this king is going to come from Bethlehem. And the Magi, obviously, they don't know that because they go to Jerusalem instead. Which is understandable because if you're looking for a king, where do you go? You go to the capital, right? You go to the capital, maybe to a palace, maybe you're expecting him to be part of the royal family. And so that's exactly where they go. Foreign people traveling these huge, huge distances across great danger without even having access to all of the scriptures, just eagerly seeking this king to worship him. And the word worship in the original language, it means to express your dependence on someone. It's to welcome them respectfully. It's to show reverence to them. I mean, God's king, written about in the Jewish scriptures, he deserves that, right? It's most certainly what God's king deserves. But notice here, it's Gentile people, people who aren't Jewish, who realize it first. It's extraordinary. The Magi, they don't know everything, but they know enough. Something huge has happened. It's going to change the course of the world. And they do not want to miss it. Well, let's pause at that point. We're going to stand and sing our next carol. Our next carol is called O Holy Night. So let's stand and sing that and imagine what it would have been like to see what the Magi saw with our own eyes, to see the guiding star, to realize that it's all happened just as it was prophesied so long ago, to yearn to see that extraordinary baby. Our next song, O Holy Night, it invites us to step into that event. So let's stand together. Let's step into the events of Christmas as we sing together, O Holy Night.
Lonely the world. Let's now look at our second Bible reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.
Thanks, Esther. And so here we are, and in the next part or the next scene really of this account, the next person is King Herod. And kids, page 5 of your activity booklets, that's where we're up to, page 5 of that one. So the next person we run into is King Herod. And King Herod, he's not Jewish, but he's been made king over them by the Roman rulers. So when the Magi come and they say, we've come to worship the one who's been born king of the Jews, well, Herod's greatly disturbed. Right? This king sounds like a threat to his authority over the Jewish people. And the Romans, well, they don't take kindly to people who fail to maintain control over the population and allegiance to the Roman emperor. So Herod, he's very, very worried. And far from wanting to worship him, Herod firmly rejects him. Later on, if you read later on in the Gospel of Matthew, it's made very clear, Herod, he just wants him dead. Herod is very, very concerned, and as a result, so is the entire city of Jerusalem. Because Herod, if you read about him, he's a paranoid, murderous bully. Apparently, he killed his favourite wife and 2 sons. I mean, imagine how his less favourite wives must have felt when that happened. This is a man that's capable of incredible cruelty. So who knows what he'd do in a rage and in desperation to everyone all around him. And so the city trembles. The whole city trembles because Herod is now threatened and afraid for his throne. I wonder if you find that extraordinary. Because it's just a little tiny baby. A tiny baby. And he causes a king and an entire city to be in turmoil. So Herod asks the chief priests and the teachers of the law where Jesus is. And they know the writing of the prophet Micah, and we read just now in verse 6, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Bethlehem, that's the place Jesus is going to be born. Now think about Herod and his situation, right? He knows the Magi have come this huge distance to worship this baby. He knows he's the Messiah, God's anointed king, which is what Messiah means. He knows he's the Messiah because he refers to him as that when he speaks to the chief priests and the teachers of the law in verse 4. But did you notice Herod's reaction? He doesn't ask anything else about him. He doesn't seek him to understand who he is. He doesn't seek him to worship him. Like you might say, he's more worried about his throne than his soul. Just rejects Jesus as king, and he just seeks to kill him. It's extraordinary. Or the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Did you notice how they reacted to all of this? Well, they didn't. Matthew's really clear. The king's been born, and the Magi, they rightly identify it. He fulfills what's been written in the Old Testament that foretold him coming. The religious leaders are even able to point to it in the scriptures. Jesus is their Messiah, born in the line of King David, rightfully the king of Israel, and they do nothing. It's not quite the same as Herod, but in the end, it amounts to the same thing, because not accepting him is still rejecting him. So why do they do that? Or why do they do nothing? Well, we're not told specifically in the Bible. It could be they didn't believe he was king. Could be they were expecting him at a different time. Maybe they felt threatened by him, Israel's king, who would have a call over their lives. Maybe they were intimidated by Herod. And you could imagine that, right? Facing Herod, the most powerful man in the region, legions of soldiers at his command, in the face of anything threatening, you know, he strikes out with murder and torture and punishment. I mean, it would be intimidating. But whatever the reason, nothing is said about them going to seek Jesus, because they don't. Maybe they're more concerned about their reputations, their own authority, their physical safety. But whatever it is, they miss the single most important event in all of human history. They ignore Jesus, which in the end, as I said, is the same as rejecting him. And so they miss the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. Well, let's pause at that point, and we're going to stand and sing again now, having been reminded that Jesus was born God's King. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, and perhaps let's just reflect on our response to this baby as we sing our next carol. Our next carol is called Silent Night. Please do stand as we sing together Silent Night.
Part of this Christmas account is from Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thanks so much, Daisy. Brilliant reading from everybody. Thanks so much. And so here we are, and finally, the Magi are led to Jesus. And kids, in your activity packs in your book, they're on page 7 now, in that one. The Magi are led to Jesus. Now, kids, I don't know what gifts you've asked for Christmas. You might have asked for, I don't know, a drone, a new bike maybe. Maybe even some AirPods. I'm not sure what you've asked for. These are all expensive gifts. But has anyone asked for gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Can I just get a show of hands? Anyone asked for that? I didn't think so. Neither have I this year. Here's a picture of what they look like. Now, a drone looks more fun, I must admit. But this is what the Magi came with. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came with these. And these are seriously expensive gifts. Seriously expensive. Extraordinary gifts brought to be given to who they knew was an extraordinary baby. And did you notice when the star stops to show where Jesus is, what's the reaction of the Magi? Did you notice? They were overjoyed, is what it says. Overjoyed. And actually, in our Bibles, it's understated, because in the original language, it's more directly translated as they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They're just overflowing with it. Overflowing. And that's the reaction often, isn't it, to the birth of a child. Doesn't even need to be one of your own. When you see a baby, that's what you feel. It's what you see on the faces of the parents or their relatives or their friends, the hospital staff. It's just this overwhelming joy for this new life. And that's what Jesus is, new life. But he's our new life. He's our new life. God's King came to bring us new life with God. It's no wonder the Magi rejoice exceedingly with great joy. See, the scriptures, the Bible, they show really clearly that God loves his world and all of us in it. He really, really does. And the fact that he puts up with humans ignoring him, causing the brokenness and the evil all around us, the fact he is so patient with that is extraordinary. His patience with what the Bible calls sin is extraordinary. Even more extraordinary than that is that he would send his son Jesus into the world to fix it. But that's what Jesus would go on to do. He would grow up to die for us. He would suffer our punishment for sin for us. And he'd rise again to life so we could follow him in that too. Forgiven our sin through faith in him and brought to God in new eternal life. It changes everything, that. It changes our eternity and it changes our present. You know, actually, without Jesus, you can't navigate life properly. You know, it's like driving a manual car without understanding how it's supposed to work. It's like driving it without using the clutch. Has anyone done that? It's like driving it without using the clutch. You might get where you're going, but the noises and the vibrations and the funny smell that's coming from the gearbox, none of it will make any sense. And in the end, it will just come to a confusing, crashing end. See, through faith in Jesus, we see how God intended things. We see that through Jesus, he puts it right. And we see that he has done it for us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Rejoicing exceedingly with great joy. So this Christmas, what will you do with Jesus? Kids, if you've got your activity books open, we're on page 8 now. This Christmas, What will you do with Jesus? See, like the Magi, Herod and the chief priests, he's made himself known to each of us. And he's shown just how extraordinary he is. And you have to do something with that. You have to do something with that. We can reject him out of fear like Herod. I mean, here in Australia, it might be the fear of what people close to us might think if we were to turn to Jesus. It might be the fear of our reputations, maybe, that might come by being with Jesus. And it might sound a bit strange, but it might even be just the fear of being on a different path, even one that's much, much better. We might fear those things and reject him like Herod did. But can I just say, that is to fear the exact wrong things. The most powerful thing in the universe is God. And if you're with him, there's nothing to fear. Or we might be like the teachers of the law and the chief priests, ignoring him, which is the same as rejecting him. We might ignore him, too busy to take a closer look just because we're too intent on continuing on with life the way that we always have. I reckon that's the option many people in Australia take. But that's to ignore a promise of life more full and rich than we could possibly imagine. C.S. Lewis put it like this: that is to be half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. It's like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pine a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Or we can seek him the way the Magi did. The Magi, they didn't know it all, and you don't have to. We can seek him in any of the biographies of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, like this one by Luke. There's a whole stack of them over there by the table that has the cushions, by the other table there that has the Bibles. You're surrounded by them as you go out. Take one, please, on your way home. We can seek him, find him, recognize him as King and Savior, and worship him in dependence, respect, and reverence this Christmas. Kids, everyone, I really hope you enjoy the gifts that you receive and that you get what you've asked for this Christmas. I really hope you enjoy those. Whether it's a drone or a pair of AirPods or just a packet of licorice all sorts, that last one is on my list. I hope you enjoy them. Can I suggest that as you open each one, take a quiet moment and compare it to the gift that Jesus himself is to you, and ask yourself how it stacks up. Just allow yourself to soak in just exactly what God has done. Enjoy the trappings of Christmas, but this year let's focus on him and rejoice exceedingly with great joy for the extraordinary gift that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the extraordinary events that first year when Jesus came ultimately to rescue us from sin and to bring us to you. And Father, we ask you would help us to see with fresh eyes how extraordinary Christmas is, to turn to Jesus and to rejoice exceedingly with great joy for your extraordinary gift to us this year. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Coops. Well, we're going to hear an item now, so please remain seated and take most of this opportunity to reflect on what we've just heard.
Angels sing and light up the sky. Happy Christmas. My name is Pratik, and we'll now be spending some time together in prayer. Please join me. Heavenly gracious Father, we thank you for Christmas and for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you loved the world so much that you sent your Son, not just to be born, but to bring life. A life filled with meaning, purpose, hope, and eternal joy. Father, in the midst of busy schedules and celebrations, we ask for your rest. Quiet our hearts and help us to recognize our deep need for you. May this season remind us that our rest does not come from or in things, but in Christ alone. We pray that your peace goes into every corner of our communities and in all the places of this world where there is fear and division. Father, we pray that many would come to know Jesus. Open the hearts so many more may receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. For those searching, we pray that you reveal Jesus to them. Draw people to repentance, faith, and a new life. And let this Christmas be the beginning of transformed lives. Use us, Lord, to share the good news boldly and lovingly so that many will call on the name of Jesus and be saved. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Paddy. Well, we've come to our final song, so please stand. Our next song is a big celebration. Jesus has come to save us, but it's also, it's an invitation for us to delight in him as our Saviour. So let's stand and sing together, Joy to the World.
Just sing.